Let's pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. When an author is being interviewed about a recent book he or she wrote, the question comes up, what was your purpose in writing this book? It's a very important issue, and the author ought to be able to answer that question in a short answer. This morning, I'm beginning a series preaching through the Gospel of Luke. And in these first four verses, Luke gives us the purpose of why he wrote this account, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So my first point is Luke's purpose can be shown in the apostolic accounts of the gospel of Christ that he refers to in Luke 1, verses 1 and 2, which says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." Verse 2 gives us a standard by which they could know then and we can know now whether an account of the life of Christ was credible and could be trusted as genuine. Luke speaks of the Christian gospel being handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. These identified individuals did not make up the Christian gospel out of their own thoughts and imagination, but God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, had come among them and taught them and had given them the promise that he would lead them into all truth as they wrote down what he had taught. The divinely written accounts of Jesus' life and ministry had their origins in God's will and intent. God himself revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I know it's a hard thing, but this is what the Christian faith teaches us, that baby born was God. He had a beginning as a human being, but he was God from all eternity. And thus he was worthy of not only the Magi's worship, but our worship. Christ himself called and commissioned his apostles as his representatives who proclaimed the Christian gospel, and some of whom wrote down the very books of the New Testament. Jesus himself appointed 12 of his followers as apostles. The early church received the writings of the books of the New Testament that we have, recognizing these books as the very Word of God. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason we also constantly thank God, that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." The church didn't create the standard of a list of the books of the New Testament. They recognized and received the books of the New Testament as the very Word of God, for that is what they are. For a book to be received as part of the New Testament, the early church looked to see if it was written by an apostle or a close associate of the apostle, an apostle. Mark and Luke, for instance, were close associates of an apostle. And Luke makes this reference to the faithful witnesses, the eyewitnesses and servants of the word, the early ministry of the apostles and other recognized preachers of the gospel. The apostolic witness and their role in writing and confirming the truth of the Christian gospel in the books of the New Testament was given to them by Christ himself, and again, not of their own accord. They did not invent a message. They received the message from God, being eyewitnesses of his ministry, including his teaching and miracles, and were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. Our Lord patiently taught his disciples and on a number of occasions corrected them, especially Peter. So by the time of his ascension, he had properly trained and corrected them so that they were at a spot where they were to faithfully teach others and be eyewitnesses to his glory, his teaching, and his saving work. So we come to the point, the first point is that the apostolic witness was integral, planned by God to bear witness to the saving work of Jesus. That brings me to my second point, and that is Luke's account of the gospel of Christ. Luke himself said he sat down to write an orderly account of all that was accomplished among us. Luke not only wrote this gospel, he also wrote a second book in the New Testament, the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. And if you compare this introduction in Luke's gospel to the first verses of Luke 1, you see not only a common theme in authorship, but also the recipient of both books, a gentleman by the name of Theophilus. Let us then hear the introductory words of Luke's second book, the Acts of the Apostle. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these also he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And now I want to go on to quote Luke's third and fourth verse of this first chapter, where he says, "It seems fitting for me as well, having investigated carefully from the beginning, to write out for you in consecutive order, O most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." It was Luke's purpose, it's getting back to my title, Luke's purpose to recite the entire story of Christ's life and ministry, including his teaching and miracles, concluding with Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. Luke set Christ's teaching and ministry within a comprehensive whole so that the Christian faith could be learned and that it could be taught in such a way to commend the totality of the Christian gospel to an inquiring friend, Theophilus. Luke does stress his credentials. He, from the beginning of the Christian movement, set down an orderly and accurate account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and had credibility because he was an associate of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul had been given the right hand of fellowship from the other apostles. And so there's links. And one of the reasons I'm emphasizing these links is that many in our day want to say, oh, we like Jesus, but the apostles preach something else. That's just not true. That's not the facts. You can't divorce Jesus from what the apostles wrote down. They're the same thing. So that won't fly. He investigated the matter of the Christian faith thoroughly so that we may know the details of what Christ taught. And it's also possible, I think even plausible, that Luke interviewed certain people like Mary about the circumstances of chapter 1 and 2, which speaks of the angelic visit to Mary regarding the identity of the person who was to be born, the baby born within her. Luke means to assure the recipients who have read this gospel that they, in fact, have received a complete narrative of Christ's life and ministry from beginning to end, out of which a person can understand the Christian gospel. Just a moment ago, I referred to the recipients of this gospel. On the one hand, this gospel was written to one individual, Theophilus. And I had a friend in Bible college with that very name, Theophilus. And we used to have a bishop, he's now since passed, Theophilus Herder. You want to know what Theophilus means? Theo means God, Philos means lover of God. That's who Theophilus was. And so the gospel was written to one individual, but on the other hand, it was written to a multitude of people. Millions, if not billions, of Christians have read this Christian gospel. And those inquiring about Christ, having read Luke's gospel, have received the full story of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in a sense, it's written to all those who are lovers of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Luke's purpose in writing is not only to give the readers the full story of Jesus' life and ministry, but also that they may know the exact truth of the things they have been taught. We can know with certainty the truth of the Christian gospel and the New Testament writings, that they are the very Word of God, just as the Old Testament was the Word of God. The Old Testament pointing forward to Jesus Christ, the New Testament showing the coming of Jesus Christ into the world as fulfillment of what the Old Testament had predicted, bringing salvation to all those who trust in Jesus as Lord, God, and Savior. Going back to Theophilus, the meaning of his name, all those who love God the Father must also love and trust in Jesus Christ, his Son. The issue that I am pressing us to consider here is that we need to know where to go to find the truth of the Christian gospel. And this text, along with the whole of Scripture, tells us we must go to the Scriptures. We go to the Bible as the Word of God, the fountain of life, and it has everything we need as Christian believers, both what we're to believe concerning God and how to properly serve and worship God, but also how we ought to think, act, and live as believers. And this dovetails perfectly what the Apostle Paul said in our epistle lesson. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. We go and accomplish that as we go to the Scriptures. This Gospel of Luke does not stand by its own authority. It has authority because God inspired Luke to write down what he wrote, as God did for all the writers of Scripture. We need to live and rest with this firm conviction, especially since we live in a world which casts doubt, ridicule, and skepticism about the Bible as the Word of God. In fact, in our modern day, truth itself has been thrown under the bus, so to speak, because a modern viewpoint does not believe in absolute truth at all. They only want to speak about your truth and my truth, but not the truth, which applies to everybody. And Luke is writing this to inform us there is a truth which applies to everybody without exception. The whole foundation of the Scriptures is that the truth can be known and has been known in regard to the truth of who God is, the truth of humanity and our fallen condition into sin, and of God's plan of salvation, and what God requires of us as his children, and what we are to believe and how we are to live. Scripture, then, is the infallible rule for faith and practice. And so as we have come to the beginning of Luke's gospel, let us remember that these things were written down for us from those who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, that we may know the exact truth of a Christian gospel. Let us therefore pay heed to Luke's gospel and to all scripture, for it is the very word of God. Let us pray. Gracious God and most merciful Father, you have granted us the rich and precious jewel of your holy word. Assist us by the Holy Spirit, that the same word may be written in our hearts to our everlasting comfort, to reform and renew us according to your image, sanctifying and increasing in us all heavenly virtues. Grant this, O Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.